Welcome back to the Deliberate Day Podcast, your podcast for moms of many.
I'm a host, Tiffany.
I'm your other host, Brittany. And today we have a fabulous third host with us. And it is our dear friend, Renee Amato. She's also a behavioral analyst. And we're super stoked because she's come on to work with Tiffany in kind of interviewing me on this new clipboard system.
Which has taken the internet by storm, by the way.
It kind of has, yeah.
Welcome, Renee.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Let's just hop right in because we know our mamas don't have a whole lot of time.
Okay, so I would love to know what exactly they are and why do you use them?
Okay, so what are they? They're really, really simple. It's not even my system that I came up with. It's one that I heard about from Sarah McKenzie over at Read Aloud Revival. And if you've never heard of her and you're a homeschool mama, then you are going to fall in love with her. She is my homeschool hero. She wrote the book, Teaching from Rest. If you have not read it, mama, go get it. Start your homeschool journey there. But the clipboards. Honestly, it's just a very simple system. It is one clipboard with one piece of paper that has 9 grids on it. Within the 9 grids are what the child needs to do that day. For me and my house, I use clipboards for my younger children and I use spiral notebooks for my older children. The difference is really just visual and the ability to pivot as much as necessary. And so with my older kids, I find it's easier to pivot each day and say, oh, hey, actually, you didn't complete that math lesson yesterday. We're going to go ahead and work on that more today because I could see that that was something you were struggling on. So you and I are going to work on that. I could say, hey, actually, I saw that you were super interested in the Egyptian stuff we were doing. So instead of continuing on with this history book you're reading, I want you to jump course and I want you to build a diorama. Like start planning it out. Today, do a little outline. Sketch up on your piece of paper here what kind of outline you're going to do. And it allows me just to be able to pivot very easily. Also, it allows me to keep track of things very well with my older kids because they do tend to be more independent than my younger kids. I work directly with them a lot more often. So I have touch points on everything they're doing. My older kids, especially with 7 kids to keep track of, it's harder to keep track of what they're doing. It's harder for me to get touch points and check all of their stuff every single day. And so the spiral notebooks give me a dedicated time to sit down and prioritize, okay, this is where they're at. This is what they're doing. This is what they're not doing. Because listen, kids are kids, okay? And they're not going to do some of the stuff on this list. It's not magic in that your kid does it every single day religiously and is fantastic in that way. There are so many different elements that make the clipboards and the spiral notebooks really good. A big part of that is how much it makes me stay focused and how much it changed me in the way I'm homeschooling. And I think that's the real secret sauce to these clipboards and these spiral notebooks. For me, it forced me to simplify what we're doing every day because I tend to be very excitable when it comes to curriculum and ideas and all of these things. And I start to overestimate what we're actually capable of, and not even capable because I think our kids are extremely capable, but overestimate what is actually good and necessary in a day in homeschooling. And I start to make it look a lot like school. We're going to do this and then this and then this and then this and then this. And we're going to tick every box so that I can say that I'm doing a good job. When really I'm homeschooling for the purpose of it being different, for the purpose of us being able to deep dive into subjects, for the purpose of us being able to go slow on subjects where they need more time and more energy and more creativity and more help. These really do help that. They give me a touch point every single day on being able to say, what's going on? What do we need to work on? What do you need to do the next day? And it keeps me up to date with where they are. The clipboards are very simple. It's a 9-piece grid and there's an item on each one. Now, I've heard amazing ideas from mamas on Instagram so far about how they've adapted this with little sticky pages that you can peel off and trade out, and mamas who are putting them in laminating sheets so they can mark them off with dry erase markers. There's all kinds of different things. For me, I've just kept it really simple, and I put 9 things on the grid starting out. If you are a mama like me, you wanted to get it perfect the first time you did it, but you're not going to, so just bite the bullet, put some stuff on there, and test it out for a couple days, and then it's just a piece of paper. Throw it away when it doesn't work, and start over. Make new things. But it also forces you to really simplify, like, what is my child doing each day? What are the things that are most important to our family? What are our whys? What are important to us for learning? And then more importantly, what exactly can your child do on their own? So can you, when you're putting these things on the list, I would recommend no more than half be something your kids need to do with you. And for me, I tried to make only 3 items on their clipboard be something that they had to do with me. And that's language arts, math, and religion right now. Everything else they can do with a sibling or they can do on their own. And I encourage that wholeheartedly because I'm trying to build responsibility with these. I'm trying to build habits. I'm trying to build consistency. And if I have a touch point on every single thing they have to do where I'm involved, then that's not going to work for me. The clipboards work because they start to remove this need to be in every single thing and helping every single person because we're just one mama. We can't do everything. We cannot be everybody's everything every single day when we're homeschooling. And that's okay. That's as it should be. This is a beautiful aspect of homeschooling, that our children are learning independence, that they're being able to work on their own, that they're reaching out to other people. It's the same things that they would get in school, only in my humble opinion, even better.
Okay, I need to interject a little science that I just learned actually yesterday. Dr. Amen is well known. He runs around with Jim Quick for brain health, right? He just came out with a book with the Love and Logic Institute, talking about children and how we can love our children by not doing everything for them. He is a brain expert. He has imaged the most brains of anyone in this entire world, and he works with children and teens. He is alarmed at what's happening by parents doing so much for their children. So the fact that you're trying to give your kids more autonomy, more agency, allow them to learn to do stuff for themselves, that is backed by science. Ha. Huh.
Boom. Yes, okay. So let me get back to also, what are they? They're just a simple system. How do you use them? My kids use them every single day. I try my very best to get their spiral notebooks done every night. Before I go to bed, I take them to my room. I sit in my bed at night and I fill out their spiral notebooks for the next day. My older teens like to hang out around that time with me. And so it makes the perfect time to do that because I can say, hey, I see you didn't mark off your math today. Are you struggling? Or was this just a day where you didn't apply yourself? And they'll, oh, I just wasn't applying myself, or, oh, actually I did finish that and I just didn't mark it off, things like that. It gives me a good touch point. And I always try to talk to my kids as I'm going through the spiral notebooks at least a few times a week. Sometimes, listen, you have to know, mamas, we're just mamas. We're doing the best we can. And that is absolutely enough. It's absolutely more than enough, okay? So if you're doing these systems, it doesn't have to look perfect. But I do that the night before. The next morning, they'll usually find them either beside my bed because I fell asleep right after I slid them off my bed onto the floor, or I wake up in the morning before they wake up and I take them downstairs and put them on our back island. And then the kids collect them from there and they literally just get started as soon as they wake up. Some of my kids like to eat breakfast first. Some of them like to get started on their clipboards first and then eat breakfast while they do their schoolwork.
Okay, this is fascinating. So my question is, you said that the older kids are more independent with doing them. Like you, at the end of the night, you check them. So the older kids don't come to you throughout the day to let you know that they finished them. Is that right? It's more of like they do it on their own and at the end, they let you know?
Right. Yeah, my kids are completely autonomous with these, I guess you would say. My kids really just work on their own as much as possible. The only time they have a touch point with me is if we have an activity to go to, because I do have kind of a boundary or a rule that if you'd like to go do extracurricular activities, you need to complete what's on your spiral notebook for the day. So when you're finished with notebooks, they are allowed to have some game time. They're allowed to go play with friends. They're allowed to go to flag football or to writer's club, or to whatever else we've got planned for the week. But their spiral notebooks need to be done first. Also, the clipboards need to be done first. So really, the only time they come to me is just to say, hey, mom, like today, the kids have flag football at 11:30. And so my rule is at 11 o'clock, you need to come to me and verify that you finished so that you can go. And we've had to step back that time because it was like 11:28, mom, I'm finally finished. And I'd be like, nope, we're literally walking out the door late right now. So it's 11 o'clock. They have to come. They have to check it by me. I just go through it really quick. If there are children who are maybe more known for filling things in and not actually completing their work, I'll have them bring their books with them and glaze over it to make sure that we've fulfilled our obligations for the day. And then, yeah, then they're done. That's the only touch point I have on it. And that night when I rewrite them. As far as the clipboards, I work with the little kids, and usually I do that after lunch or I do that in the evening, like right around dinner time, because I'm already downstairs. They're already right there. The 9 grid on the page has the different things that they need to do. And then there's a page underneath that holds sticky notes, because I found that the sticky notes wouldn't stick to the clipboard. So I just slipped another piece of paper underneath. It holds all of the sticky notes. They pull a sticky note off, they cover up the item that they've done, and at the end of the day, their whole clipboard should, in theory, be covered. I would say the little kids usually get to between 6 and 8 items. There's almost always 1, maybe 2 items that they haven't gotten to that day. And for me, I think that's perfectly fine. I don't expect perfection with these every single time. The goal is to create a habit that they're coming back to, that they know what they've got to do, and also to give them some autonomy in choosing, because there's some things on there that are just fun or extra. And I'm okay if they choose to skip those things sometimes, because they're just fun and extra, and they're meant to be something that they can make a decision on themselves. And then I reset that, I give them tickets, and then those boards go back onto our clipboard shelf and they're ready for them the next day. So as soon as they come downstairs, they're reset and ready for them as well.
Okay, so that's amazing. So the older kids do it on their own. The younger kids, now you said that there's 9. Now, do the older kids have an equivalent, or as they get older, do they get more tasks?
I haven't established a perfect number of tasks, and I don't strive to make that even throughout everybody's stuff. Each number of tasks is unique to the child, outside of the clipboards, is unique to the child and unique to their load for the day. So on days that they have extracurricular activities, we don't do history or science, and so they have a little bit less those 2 days of the week.
Also, as you're mentioning with which child, right, like what you're doing for each child is individual, I'm thinking like you could put a free space. It's an editable template. If you wanted to be fun mom and put a free space on there, you totally could, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You really, the whole reason this system works is because, number one, it's so simple. Number two, it's visual and consistent and gives incredible clarity to your children. And number three, it's completely customizable. It just, you get to make it whatever you need. And the beauty of homeschooling is that we are making our homeschools, our homes, work for us and work for our children. We're using education to work for our children. And that's a beautiful thing. You get to customize it any way you want. And you get to try things out. People get hung up on the fact that they've got to get it right first. That's me. I'm raising my hand. I'm that person. But you get to pivot all the time. We're already pivoting all the time in motherhood. You pivoted when you first had a baby. You pivoted when they first got sick. You pivoted when they first started crawling, following them everywhere, picking things out of their mouth. You know, we're always pivoting, but we look at homeschooling with so much pressure that we've got to get it right, that their whole future is on our shoulders, and that if we don't do enough, they're going to fail. That is a lot of pressure to have on anyone's shoulders, first of all, and no one at the school has got that pressure on them. So mamas, it's okay. We get to pivot and you get to try things out and you get to throw away a math curriculum halfway through if it's not working for your kid and try something else. So yes, you totally get to customize this any way you want.
Okay, I love this. So in order to start using them during the day, do they have, because on it, is it only, you said that there's some fun things. So is it things like, for the younger kids, like getting dressed or brushing your teeth, or is it more academic? And then like they have like their routine in the morning that they start, you know, get dressed, eat breakfast, and then they start it? Or is it all kind of like a whole daily thing?
So for my youngest one, she was 4 when we started it. Hers are brush teeth. That's a whole entire block on its own. Get dressed is a block. And then I can't think of the other one. There's another one that has nothing to do with academics. Also, I have one on there that's play outside for 1 hour because, number one, I would like for them to get outside time. We live in Florida. For the most part, it's beautiful. But even when it's raining, they can still play outside because they love playing outside. They have a mud kitchen that has a cover and they just play in there all the time. So
only raining, though, of course, lightning. We keep the children inside. Just want to put that in there.
We're good, safe parents. So don't come after us.
No, okay.
But honestly, like I said, it's customizable. You get to make it what you want. I am not a mom who's extremely rigid with learning at younger ages. I am somebody who believes very much so in play. So a lot of the things for my youngest children are focused around learning through play. And so those are the items on their list. If they don't get to all of them, great. If they get to all of them, great. If they draw in their art journal, perfect. If they don't draw in their art journal, I'm okay with that. So my goal with them is not that they complete the clipboard every single day, but that they use the clipboard to direct their day in ways that they would like to, and that they start making a habit and using the tools to learn how to use this later on when we are looking more academically at things and where I need them to be consistent with being able to look at a list and complete a list.
Okay, that's fabulous. That's amazing. Because I homeschool, I have four kids of my own, and I have never utilized this method, and it sounds extremely fascinating. So here's something that's coming up in my mind is I could imagine my kids not doing it. Like they would not follow. What do you do when they don't do it? What do you do when like they are, you know, goofing off or just, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing? Does that differentiate between like the younger kids and the older kids? How does that work?
Okay. First of all, your kids are going to do that. Even if the system works perfectly for the first week or 2 weeks or month, there's going to be a point where your kids start to veer off of that. And I think here's where you hold firm boundaries. That might require you to hold firm boundaries with consequences. It might require you to hold firm boundaries with taking privileges away. Whatever your parenting style is, I would lean into that. For us here, it looks like them not being able to go do different activities. It looks like them not being able to play any video games. I'm not a fan of those anyway, so those are usually the first thing to go on the list. But it also can look like them not being able to play with their friends at the end of the day. It can look like them having to go to bed early. So we have stair-stepped bedtimes in our house, and those are very prized privileges because the youngest children go to bed about 7 or 7:30. The next one goes to bed about 8 or 8:30, 9 or 9:30, and then my oldest kids can stay up usually till about 10, depending on, we shift bedtimes around sometimes, depending on if people are pushing past bedtime a lot consistently, or like, oh, actually, we're going to roll that back, because if you're just going to blow past it, then we're going to make it earlier so that you're actually going to bed on time. But those are kind of the way I work it if they're not doing things. Here's the other caveat to that, though. If you find that your child is not doing stuff consistently, there's probably a reason. A lot of kids, now there are some kids who are just like, I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it. And you do have to kind of meet them where they're at because they're typically more strong-willed children, I would say. In my experience, I've found that it's strong-willed children who buck whatever you would like for them to do. And I've found that I kind of have to meet them where they're at and hold firm boundaries with them. However, I will say that with most of my kids, I find that it's just because they're stuck or because they really don't like what they're doing. With the little kids, my second youngest, she actually had something on her list that she just didn't like doing. And I was like, guess what? We get to change that. It's not that important. We don't have to do it that way. We're going to change it up and we're going to do it differently. So we did. She was having a really hard time with reading, and reading was one of her things, and reading with her siblings, but her siblings were getting frustrated reading with her, or she was getting frustrated sitting and reading with them. And I was like, this isn't working. Let's change it up. And so now she has an option to read with a sibling, read with mom, or listen to an audiobook, or listen to a good podcast that's learning. And so now she's got different options there, and this is working so much better for us. So a point of pain where she was avoiding it and never doing this task has now become something she has the ability to choose what she'd like to do each day. And she has direction, because when it was just that, she did have the ability to choose different reading styles, but she didn't know what those were. So to be able to give her clarity and say, here are some options, now she gets to make those choices. And for me, I look at the long-term repercussions of this as an adult. That's going to teach her really good skills. She's going to have a good foundation of looking at things a little differently. Hey, I'm really struggling in this area. Mm-hmm. How can I do the same thing? How can I gain the same benefits, but do it differently? And this is foundational. Like, I would say that everything that I do, I try to look out foundationally for adulthood and for growing adults. So this is just one of those areas where we're kind of pulling in those things. As far as older kids, you're going to have times where they don't do their work. And I think a lot of times I find with my older kids, it's because they're struggling. I have one who really struggles with writing. It's not something that they find very enjoyable. It's not something that comes very naturally or very easy to them yet. And they get stumped, and then they get frustrated, and then they get angry, and then they just want to quit or do quit. So I know that if I see consistently that this task isn't being done, it wasn't done Monday, it wasn't done Tuesday, I'll pull them aside and be like, hey, I can see that you're either avoiding this or you're just not applying yourself. And for me, I'm looking at core subjects to be finished every day. I'm not looking for perfection on the clipboards or the spiral notebooks, because in my own life, I'm not getting to all my to-dos. That's the reality of it. There are things that get in the way. Sometimes I'm just moody and I don't want to do the thing that I need to do. You know, there are a variety of different reasons. So I try to give my kids a lot of grace, because we're still growing. Your kids are still growing every day. Even if you don't do anything one day or 2 days in a row, they're still growing and they're still gaining ground. I can say that now on this side, because before, when I didn't have kids who were in their teens, I was like, oh my gosh, my kids are never going to write. They're never going to read. They're never going to go to college. They're never going to get a job. They're going to live in a basement, and I don't even have a basement, you know? So it's easy to start spiraling. But when you see that homeschooling is more of this long game, you can give your kids more grace. I would say if you find that your kids are skipping things, it may be that you need to hold a firm boundary, but it may also be that you need to level with them and be like, hey, are you really struggling with this? Or maybe something they just hate doing. And for me, change it. If they hate doing it, and it's not, even if it is a core subject, if they absolutely hate the math they're doing right now, guess what? You probably need to change that curriculum, or change the way you're approaching it, or change the way they're approaching it, or get them a tutor. Like, there are so many options available to us as homeschoolers. So that's what I would say to anybody who's looking at kids who are pushing back against the system.
Okay. So a couple things here. One of my mom's superpowers is creating with God and my husband children who are very strong-willed. So strong-willed, in fact, that I have a son who, for the entire 5 years that I homeschooled him, he woke up every single day and I would tell him in this cheery voice, this is what we're going to do today. And he'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. 5 years, y'all, 5 years, until, of course, he chose to go back to regular school himself, which, that's a whole other subject. But what I'm hearing Brittany say, and what I don't want anyone to miss, is that whatever age your child is, if they're having issues with the system, you are inviting them into the solution. You're not just being like, well, too bad, you're stuck with it, buck up, or you're out of the house. I don't even know. Like,
occasionally, but, maybe.
Well, when you're inviting a six-year-old to become a part of the solution, mm-hmm. that is an entire mind shift change that is really, like you said, going to follow them into adulthood. When you invite a 15-year-old into the solution, it's going to do the same thing. And again, you may find that your six-year-old really does better with a spiral notebook because they are astute and would like a list of well-written things. And maybe you have a 15-year-old who is artistic and loves visual, and they need a clipboard because they like it that way. The cool thing about all of this is that you get to become a student of your child, which is what you're doing. You get to make observations of how they're moving about in your homeschool world. And if there is an issue, you can invite them with a certain amount of authority into the solution. Mm-hmm. Which is so Norwegian. I just love that.
And you made a good point, actually, that the clipboards are not just for little kids and the spiral notebooks are not just for big kids. You might find that they're completely interchangeable. It's just what your style of homeschool is right now. You might have clipboards for all of your children. You might have spiral notebooks for all of your children. It's just that I found the clipboards worked really well for my younger kids because their schooling right now doesn't really change up. I'm not pivoting on things for them, and we're not changing things all up. The consistent things that they do each day are pretty consistent. You still need to brush your teeth every day. You still need to get dressed every day. But with my older kids, I'm not having to tell them to brush their teeth. I'm not having to add get dressed to the list, you know? So their things change up a little bit more. And I like to be able to have them fill in what lesson they did each day in math so that I can keep tabs on that. And I like for them to fill in what pages they read for their quiet reading time. With my little kids, I'm reading with them, so I don't need that. But you could easily use the clipboards for older kids too, especially if you have a routine or if you have a child who really likes routine or really likes consistency. That could be an excellent option for them.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And that's really fascinating because as you're talking about that, I think, you know what? I do think I have an older child that would love a clipboard because she is very artistic and she does love things. So thank you. That's fascinating, Brittany. I love it.
You could even let her sketch out the things that she's doing.
Yeah.
She could put a sketch for language arts. She could put a sketch for math. She could put a sketch for sketching, you know? So you really do get to invite your kids in a lot of ways here. And I think that that's one of the beautiful things about the clipboards is they're so customizable again, and they give so much clarity to your kids that they're able to take a dependence that they're not able to do. I've tried a bunch of different methods. I tried keeping my own homeschool planner. I bought expensive homeschool planners. I had them check the homeschool planner with me. I did a thing where we sat down every single morning and we wrote down what they had to do on little index cards, and they took their index cards with them to figure out what they needed to work on. I did something where I bought them all their own planners and they filled them out with me every morning. And then I did where I filled them all out because they weren't sitting down and filling them out. And it was chaos in my house because we have 7 kids and it's chaos all the time. And this really, really simplified everything down. I don't have to change up the kids' clipboards. And for the spiral notebooks, I'm doing it for 4 kids every day. And I will say it's a commitment. But it's also a commitment I personally need. I need to have touch points on my older kids' schooling. And so this works for me. My husband, he was like, why are we writing spiral notebooks? Because he helps me sometimes. He's like, we need to just print out what they need to do. You can highlight it or you could do this. And he had all kinds of really great ideas, honestly. But I told him, I was like, we're doing these spiral notebooks because I have to do the spiral notebooks. I need the touch point on the thing that the kids are all doing.
So I have one more question. Do the kids ever write their own tasks for the day? Or do you, I know that you said that you get their input when they're struggling and you help them work on the solution with you, but do they ever, or is the goal to transition where they will take autonomy over that and write it themselves?
I think it could be either or. I think that honestly here, there are days where I'm either sick or it was a really busy day the day before and I didn't get to their spiral notebooks, and I'll have kids who are very independent and they're like, it's okay, mom, I know what I have to do. I'm going to write it down. And anytime my kids take responsibility in that way, I try to honor that as much as possible and honor what they wrote down. Sometimes they don't do everything that I was going to write down that day, but I try to honor the fact that they took responsibility. They showed responsibility. They got their work done. And I accept that as their work for the day. I would highly recommend that you encourage your kids in the ways that they take responsibility, because we need to be encouraged in those ways. And so if they didn't do it perfectly, that's okay. But you could also build up to the point where they're writing their own spiral notebooks every day. And that would be good too. For me, like I just said, it is important that I have touch points on it. Otherwise, it would be really easy to lose track of where they are, what they're doing, or if there are children who are skipping certain subjects or skating out on certain things or are really struggling and need help but haven't reached out yet. Because even though I'm very accessible to my children, I'm also helping little ones. And then there's also other chaoses that happen, or they'll ask me for help one afternoon and I'll be like, yeah, we'll get to that tomorrow. Just remember to ask me tomorrow. And they'll ask me tomorrow, but somebody just trekked poop in the house. And I'm like, well, I can't get to it right now. So we're obviously like, ask me later, you know? And it could be a few days where they were struggling on something and I wasn't able to get to help them. So the spiral notebooks really give me a chance at night to look back on the day and be like, oh, so-and-so asked me for help with this and I still didn't do it. So I'm going to prioritize that tomorrow and I'm going to make sure I have time to do that.
Oh, it's so good. I love that, because there's so many times during the day where something will come up and I'm in the middle of doing something else with the kids and I'm like, okay, we'll get to that. And then it just floats away and I don't even, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. This is very interesting.
Well, and so much comes back to me at night when I'm laying in bed and no one's talking to me and my brain finally is like, hey, I'm here. I have thoughts too. So it's really nice to be able to reflect on the day and to say, okay, what do I want to prioritize tomorrow? How can I prioritize things for my homeschooling? How can I prioritize things for my business? How can I prioritize things for my home? And having these spiral notebooks is really an opportunity for me to do that. I'll even write, I like to write notes to my kids in their spiral notebooks. I have one who writes me notes every single day on every single subject. And so I go through and I heart all of those and I write back little notes. Like, what an awesome way to connect with her every single day. But then with my other kids, sometimes I'll write, hey, update me on where you are with your language arts. Because at night, night me is like, hey, don't forget to do that. But morning me is going to be like, let's hit the ground running. I can't remember anything I made, any plans I made before. So I leave my own self notes in their spiral notebooks.
Oh, this is fascinating. I can't wait to start this. Honestly, like this is eye-opening because I, like you said, I've done the, everyone has their own planner. They don't want to fill it out. I fill it out. Nobody checks it. I wasted money on this planner. Where this just sounds so, it's like the KISS method. It's just like, keep it simple and it effective.
Is.
I love it.
It is. It really is. And all they have to do is check mark something, fill in a box. It could not get any more simple. It's so stupid simple. I think, honestly, I think that's why it works so well. It's just so simple. And you don't have to buy anything expensive or fancy for it. You just need a $1.50 spiral notebook. They used to be 25 cents. They're not 25 cents anymore. I just replaced some of them. And I think they were like $1.50 or $1.75. But during the school year, when people are buying all the school supplies, buy two spiral notebooks. And this also works for your end of year portfolio and your evaluation. You can take this whole thing and say, look at what they've done. Here's all the things. And what I usually do for our evaluations here is I'll take something from the beginning of the year, something from the first quarter, end of second quarter, end of third quarter, end of fourth quarter. That's what I'll turn in for our evaluation. So it's really easy to go back and be like, okay, here's what they were doing here. Here's what they were doing here. Here's what they were doing here. No guesswork involved, no hunting back things down. And it's individual for each of the kids. So I'm not trying to keep track of seven different schedules and things in my planner. Everything is already housed in their spiral notebook. So I don't have to worry about even having a homeschool planner anymore.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
I mean, Brittany, this has been like a fire hose worth of information. I think there are so many questions I know Renee had that have been answered. I have that have been answered. And my goodness, I feel like that is a good 30 minutes, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to add one more thing about getting started. Anytime you're going to do a big transition for your kids, if you're going from something that isn't working, I find the best way to introduce it is to bring a little joy and fun into it. And so when I swapped to these clipboards and to these spiral notebooks, I kind of pre-warned the kids. I was like, hey, I'm learning about a new system and I think we're going to give it a try. And then when they woke up, I had little cute personalized spiral notebooks for them and I had a little treat on top of each one. And so we kind of introduced this new style with a little bit of fun. We also brought in earning tickets, and that was a big thing too. So I know we'll dig into that in another episode, but I just want to say, if you're going to get started and you're like, how do I even get started? You can buy our editable template, or you can just make your own 9-piece grid on a piece of paper, or you just go buy some spiral notebooks. You write down a couple things, and I do mean a couple things. When you're getting started with a new system like this, don't give your kid 9 or 10 or 15 things the first day. That's going to be super overwhelming for you and for them. And it's going to be discouraging if they can't succeed with it right away. We want to give them good, solid wins starting out. So when I first started these spiral notebooks, there were 3 items that we started with. And they were super simple. They weren't even all core subjects. I was like, do your math, do quiet reading time, come have a snack with me. That was it. And that's what we did that first day. The second day, I added one more thing. The next day, I added one more thing. And we built up to the point where we have kind of a good routine of what they're doing. So if you're wondering how to get started small. Bring a little joy and a little fun into it and give yourself grace to take a little bit of time to work into this. With the clipboards, you can print the whole thing and you could say, hey, we're just going to start out with 3 sticky notes. You get to choose anything off of this grid that you'd like to do today, and we're just going to use the 3 sticky notes. Hey, today, now you have 4 sticky notes. Now you can choose anything you want off of this grid. That's going to do 2 things for you too, Mama. Number one, you're going to see what your kids actually really love doing and are really excited about doing. And you're going to see what they really don't like doing because they're never going to choose those things. And that gives you an opportunity to pivot also, especially in the beginning. And all you have to do, like I said, is just print a new piece of paper. There's no commitment. You don't have to laminate it. You don't have to make different Velcro pieces for it. You don't have to do anything in the beginning when you're getting started except print a piece of paper or sketch on a piece of paper and start there. Because it's so freeing to be able to start small and make pivots where you need to instead of putting tons of energy into making it perfect and then not having it work out. And then you haven't won either. Because we need to win with these spiral notebooks and these clipboards too, just as much as our kids do. We all need to have success in a new system so that we can get confident and so that we can really commit ourselves to doing something. So that's the only thing I wanted to add before we close out today.
No, that's perfect. I love it. I appreciate it. That's good encouragement. Because I do think as moms, we try to do it all. Overwhelming. Too much. Too soon.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, sweet mamas, before you go, I want to tell you about our editable template. We've got it up on our website right now. You can reach out to us on Instagram. You can go to the website and go find it. It's in our shop. It is only $1.99. You get a Canva template. You go on, you can fill in all of your own stuff. You can customize it with your child's name. You could put little pictures on the grids. So if you'd like to go get that, like I said, it's $1.99. The link will be in the show notes. But again, you can also just do this by writing a grid. So whatever works for you for getting started, mama, good luck. And I hope it works. And if you have any questions, please reach out to us on Instagram. We love hearing from you. We love your questions. We use your questions to fuel these podcasts. So just keep them coming. And
remember, sweet mama,
you are doing beautiful work.